We're continuing our sermon series in the book of Philippians. Help from Philippians, the joy of living in Christ. And you know, it just seems like as I look around and as I listen, observe, and that's something that I like to do. I like to watch people. And it just seems like a lot of people are just down. You go into a restaurant and you see some who are talking and smiling and laughing, but the majority of them, it almost looks like it's even contrived. It just like we're really struggling with being happy, with being joyful. And one of the things that we've stressed is that the joy of being in Christ is not the same as happiness. Happiness depends on circumstances. And there are times that the circumstances are such that it's hard to be happy. But yet, at the same time, there are all kinds of reason to be joyful. As we were sitting in the waiting room, there were people that came and went that you knew that some of them were dealing with situations much worse than what Eric is dealing with. Yes, it was serious. He was on the operating table for an hour and 45 minutes. In fact, part of the way into it, I turned to Jesse and I said, "They found something." And Paul, who was with us, said, "That's good." I said, "I know. It's good because whatever they found, they can fix and things can get better." But sitting there, the four of them playing games while we were waiting. And there were people sitting behind that were kind of looking over like, okay, they're playing Yahtzee in a waiting room of a hospital. Well, because there's a joy that transcends the circumstances. Now, last week, we talked about it as we're looking at this theme of the joy of being in Christ. We looked at this idea of who are you? How do you define yourself? And we looked at Paul as an example and how he gave this list of seven things. And I shared, I don't think it was insignificant. Seven was a number that everybody considered completion and wholeness. And he gave a list of seven things that anybody in that day would have sat back and said, wow. I mean, a Hebrew of Hebrews, a part of the Pharisees, an Israelite circumcised on the eighth day, the precision of his whole religious life. They would have said, wow. And Paul says, no. There's no wow in that. That's all, and to use that word that gets us all smiling, that's all scubulon. I'm sorry, poop. The Greek word means garbage, rubbish, that which you get rid of. Manure, literally. And Paul said, all of that stuff that I had worked hard to gain is just scubulon compared to the pleasure and the glory that comes in Christ. And then we talked about, as we closed, the whole idea of what's holding you back. What's holding us as a congregation back? We need to be doing some changes, don't we? I mean, we don't change the message. The message is still the Word of God and will be as long as I am standing behind this lectern proclaiming it to you. We don't change the message. But obviously we need to be doing some things different, because pews that at one time were full are now empty. What's holding us back? We looked at that quote from Jim Elliot, missionary. Gave his life, died, serving the Indians down there in Ecuador. And in his journal, it was written, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." There are a lot of people who are giving up their salvation because of things. Money. Bigger homes. Prestige. Maybe it's none of those, but what's holding you back? What is it that you can't take into eternity that's maybe keeping you from living the Christian life the way it should be lived? And so with that background, Paul moves on to a section of Scripture that the NIV refers to as pressing on toward the goal. Our text for today, chapter 3, verses 12 to 16. We're looking at the idea of the call of God. How is God calling you individually and us as a church? So let's look at His Word today. He says, "Not that I have already attained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained." May God add His blessing to our reading of His Word this morning. We need to change. Paul had to make a drastic change in his life. A change from being a very zealous, persecuting, Pharisaic rabbi leader to a sacrificing and serving and giving teacher. And we need to be making some changes. How do we go about that? You say, "Well, you know, last week when I did examine myself, I realized, yeah, I need to change in some different ways." Where do we begin? And I think there are three things that come out in this text for us that we can look at in terms of Paul's help for us in terms of making change. And the first of those is the confession. Paul begins with a confession. "I've not already attained all this." It's that humility. It's the now and the not yet. Paul says, "You know, I need to be putting all that stuff behind. I need to be doing some things differently, but I'm not going to lie to you. I haven't done it yet. I'm still working on it." Paul is the one who said, "The things that I know I should be doing, I'm not. The things that I shouldn't be doing, I am." "Blessed be the God who can love me even though I am the chief of sinners." It begins with an honest confession of where we're at. Now, I can't do that for you. But I can tell you some areas that can help. Where are you at in terms of your daily Bible reading and devotion? Jesse and I went down to Lincoln week 4, and we attended minister's retreat Monday and Tuesday. And one of the things that one of the speakers stressed was, hey, you need Bible study and devotion. And he paused and he said, and I'm not talking about what you do in preparation for your sermons. That need for private reading of God's Word. Prayer. And again, I'm not just talking about now I lay me down to sleep or some quick phrase of thanksgiving for some food. How much are we talking to God about what's happening in our lives, what we're about to face? Gosh, God, I got a big test today and I didn't prepare the way I should have. I'm trying to cram, and I really know I shouldn't do that. Help me change. But through your Spirit, bring to memory what I have studied. Lord, I'm really struggling with my relationship with this person, and I know I'm gonna come in contact with them today. Help me to say the right things. And then as you see them approaching, Lord, here they come. Please help me. Just a little phrase. In terms of song, Jesus, take the wheel. I'm not capable. I can't do this. Just an honest confession. Paul said, if you notice there, he says, I have not already attained all this. I haven't been made perfect. Brothers, I don't consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it. An honest appraisal and confession of where we are at. But then notice where he goes from there. After the confession of where we're at, there's a need for a commitment to be made. He says, but one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Now, the image there is the image of the games that they were so familiar with. The runner who doesn't look back. I know my football coach used to get on me all the time. He said, you break through the line and then you start looking back. And that slows you down. You got to look ahead to the goal line. But no, I wasn't that fast of a runner. I wanted to look back and see who was catching up with me. But we got to keep our eyes focused. Be honest with yourself. How many of you have had things happen in your life during the last week, the last month, the last year, that it's time to just say, I need to put that all behind. I've got to move on. I've got to get my priorities reestablished. We talked about that last week. I've got to decide what's more important. Because it's not all black and white. There's some gray, fuzzy areas. And I've got to decide, where do I need to focus my time and energy? And then we've got to make a commitment. I use the illustration of marriage. This morning in my devotional reading, the passage came up from Proverbs about how a good woman is above value for rubies and gems. And you know, it's that reminder that when we have something that's precious, we need to care for that. Marriage. Guys, if you want your marriage to work, you've got to love your wife. And women, if you want it to work, Paul says, you got to respect your husband. And men, when we're loving our wives like we should, they will respect us. And women, if you start showing some respect, you might be surprised to see some of those loving things start happening. That's why Paul begins that whole passage with, we got to submit to one another. And then, He closes that whole section by saying, and I'm talking about the church. Because why? What is the bride of Christ? The church. Are we showing proper love and respect for the bride? We've got to make a commitment. And that commitment has to be there to guide us when we have those weak moments. Say, no, I committed. I shared with Jeff and Geneva when we were talking about baptism. I said, one of the reasons why we do this in front of people and make those confessions is that it's a commitment we make that others see that we've made. And so they're there to help us, to remind us, to encourage us. We confess where we're at. We make that commitment to press on. But then he doesn't stop there. He gives some counsel in verses 15 and 16. All, it's pretty inclusive, all of us who are mature should take such a view of things that we're going to put the past behind. We're going to press on. But he says, if at some point you think differently, God will make it clear to you. Only let's hold true. Let's live up to what we've already attained. We're here. We're worshiping. So during the month of November, let's not set that aside to work on other things. Let's keep that up. If we are having some devotional reading, let's keep that up. Let's maintain the level that we've gotten to. Let's not slip and slide backwards. Some of us are involved in writing cards and making calls. Let's keep that up. As I've moved around the community, I've had people say, thanks for the card, and I got another card from somebody else in the church this week. Let's let the people know that we care. Let's not slip back any further, but let's press on and hold on to what we've already attained. Now, what have we attained? First of all, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we've already seen earlier in Philippians, and we saw in Colossians as we went through that, we are blessed with every blessing and every need that we could ever have. Not a person here is living anywhere close to the poverty status of the world. The poorest person in the United States is living far above what many around the world have for just daily sustenance. How thankful are we? How much are we willing to say, Lord, you've blessed me so abundantly. I don't have to worry about shelter, clothing, food. One of the things that struck me coming to minister with you all and having the needy minister fund, I said to Kay one day, I said, wow, I'm overwhelmed. I hadn't had that many people call me for help in a 4-week period in my entire ministry up to this point. I'm glad we're able to be seen as a place of help. But just to, and let me share this with you. Kay knows, she's heard me. Not a person who leaves the office after receiving financial help, not a person who leaves isn't told, hey, I'm concerned about where you're at financially, but I'm much more concerned about your soul. Where are you going to worship? Are you attending church? Are you a part of a church body? We've got to hold on to all that we have and to thank God for that. And that becomes the motivation for us reaching out to others. Carol and I talked this week about this ministry to singles. And, you know, I said to Carol, I said, you know, maybe our founding key verse for this ministry could be the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting with verse 3, where he says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comforts, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God." Now, that can be our foundation. We're going to reach out and comfort others because of how God has comforted us and helped us through those tough times. So, in closing, here's my question for you today. Paul says, "I'm pressing on toward that heavenward call, the upward call that God has given me." What call has God given you? In what direction is He leading you? Now, this ministry to singles, if it goes, it won't be because of me. I will be a part of it and support it and be there as a counsel and a guide. But if it goes, it's going to be going because of the ones that have the interest, the passion in that area. And that's going to have to be the case with any other ministry. If I start leading and actively doing every ministry that this church has, how long do you think it'll be before I burn out? Not very long. And if I get too divided, I can't give the effort that needs to be given for any one area at all. And so as you feel a need to go in an area, and that's what this is all about, you're standing there thinking about how God has blessed you and how God has gifted you. And you're thinking about what God has placed, what call God has placed on your life. In whatever direction God is leading you, we as a church will be there to be that round foundation underneath to uphold you and to undergird you and to give you the help and the resources and whatever else. But this is a way for each of us to find out, what's God calling me to do? And how can I put the past behind and really put my efforts into what God is calling me to do? And that's our commitment that we need to make.